I'm going to preach here this morning. Rejoicing breeds uncommon outcomes. Rejoicing breeds uncommon outcomes. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Get your Bibles, stand. Pull out your notebooks, get ready to write. Roboko sadadabasandai. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Rubosha. But Paul called with a what kind of a voice? Verse 16:28. I didn't say that. But Paul called with a loud voice. What kind of a voice? What kind of voice? Oh my God. Sometimes we like to do everything silent and quiet, but there's a time for a loud voice. There's time for a shout. There's time for a praise. There's time for a dance. There's some time to get loud. There's a time to be quiet, yes, but there's also a time to be what? But Paul called with a loud voice saying what? Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And Father, we thank you for this word. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Let your glory fill our lives, transform our hearts and our minds, elevate us, take us to another dimension. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we give you all the thanks, and we give you praise. Amen. You may be seated. So here we see the jailer, the Philippian jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Now this was the outcome of a situation. There was a situation happening here. But this outcome could not have happened without some men falling into the mode of rejoicing. We would have never had gotten to the point where this man is seeking to be converted and seeking to find eternal life. He was alive, he was breathing, he was at work. He was healthy, he was strong. He was whole. He was in his right mind. But he gets to a point where he was getting ready to harm himself. He was going to a point to harm himself because he was good as dead. Because his job was to guard the prisoners. And all of a sudden, he finds himself in a position where the doors were locked and now open. The chains that held the men are all loosed. And he said, I might as well end it. Because if I don't, not only will it be ended, but they're going to kill me in public. They're going to take me and put me in the public and bring disgrace, not only to my name, but my wife and my children. And he said, to spare them the misery, let me do it myself. But all of a sudden he heard a loud voice. And the Apostle Paul said, we are all here. I want to talk to you about rejoicing breeds uncommon outcomes. Many of us in the church, and most of us sitting here, if I ask you, you would say, I have the joy of the Lord. If I ask that question, how many of us would say we have the joy of the Lord? We have the joy of the Lord. Now, let me help you. Let me give some background, just in case you're wondering where that joy comes from and what is that joy. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says, but the fruit, somebody say fruit, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now let's stop right there. We want to talk about joy. The fruit of the Spirit is, one of them is joy. The Holy Spirit bears a fruit in us. That fruit has many parts. Just like you have an apple, you have the skin, you have the stem, you have the seed, you have the husk, you have many parts if you break an apple down. So the fruit that the Holy Ghost bears in us, part of that fruit is joy. Did we see that from Scripture? When we were growing up, we thought it was fruits. But it's actually one fruit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. The work of God have aspects, but it's one work happening in you. Our God is one God, manifested in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but how many God? One God. How many names? There is only one name where you can be saved. There's one name where you can be set free. Are you with me tonight? Today. So, he says to him, don't harm yourself, for we are here. What were they filled with? I want to talk to you how rejoicing affects your surrounding. Now, we may say we have joy. There's two things here. There is joy and there is rejoicing. Joy is the state of being. You can write that down. I'll explain it to you. Joy is the state of being that is produced by the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for joy is chara, C-H-A-R-A, is joy, represents gladness that is produced in you, not by what happens around you. You can be in chaos and still have joy. You can still be rejoicing where they may call you crazy. The stuff you are going through or the situations you have gone through should have caused you to frown. But yet you still wear a smile. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is at work on the inside of the believer. And he is producing. We all have a cell phone. We didn't see where it got produced, but we have it. We all use different things. We don't know where they were made, but we have them. So not that you didn't see it made, doesn't mean that it wasn't made. So not because you're not seeing the Holy Ghost saying, here is joy, here is peace, here is love, here is faithfulness. Here is, doesn't mean it's not, he's not producing it. So, the Holy Ghost wants to produce joy. Joy is the state. Now, I came up with this little definition many years ago. Joy is the rhythm of the child of God. The rhythm. You know, like you have reggae, you have salsa, you have hip hop, you have pop. You have country. Some people don't like country. I like country music. You like country music, Grandma? Yes. Right? It's sweet music. But for the child of God, our rhythm is joy. Our our rhythm is produced by the Holy Spirit that keeps us going. Now, music is meant to change emotions. Yesterday was Valentine's. What kind of music you were hearing? Love music. Why? They're trying to enhance the feeling. Ooh. Hello? You weren't hearing shopping music yesterday, unless you were in the mall. Or you weren't hearing Christmas music. No, you were hearing love songs. Even those who are not in love were listening to love songs. I pray for you guys. Because what? It sends an emotion. It changes the atmosphere. It's the same way the Holy Ghost is producing joy in the believer. He is producing gladness. Even where there is sorrow, he's producing joy. He says he gives you what? He takes the spirit of heaviness and he gives you what? The garment of praise. Where there is ashes, he takes ashes and he gives you what? Beauty. So the same way, where there is sadness, he can put joy. Amen. So the Holy Spirit produces joy. It is a constant state of being. Like a river is constant, it constantly flows. It doesn't matter if it's windy or it's not windy. The river flows. So it does not matter the conditions that you're in. Joy is still flowing. Are you seeing that? It's constant. So it's not the Holy Ghost says, oh, I'm going to pour joy today. And then tomorrow, no joy. As the river flows. Right? The river of joy flows. Psalms 4 verse 7, Amplified. You put joy in my heart more than others know. When their wheat and wine have yielded abundance. In the world, people are happy when they have the things they need. Or the things they desire. Or they get a raise on the job. Oh, man. Smiling from ear to ear. You got a little good tax return. Smiling from ear to ear. Everybody's coming in with bags. You know what's flowing? Money is flowing. They get excited because, come on, girls, let's go down to the mall. We got some money today. They get happy. But with the child of God, when you have money or you don't have money, the word of God says, you put more joy in my heart. More than when they have their money. More than when they get their tax return. More than when you get your increase on the job. More than when you get a car. More than when you get a house. That is the state that we are in. You get it? You got it? You have it. Now don't lose it. Because the enemy is out to steal it. Anything God does in your life, the enemy is out to steal it. Anytime the word comes forth and understanding comes, the enemy attacks it. But when you get the word, you hide it. Somebody say hide it. Hide it. Thy word have I hid. Come on, hide the word. Hide it in your heart. Chuck it there and let it have precedence. Let it rule your life so that you're not like a wind, a sail toss or a ship toss by every wind. One day you're up, one day you're down. One day you're sweet, one day you're bitter. One day you smile, the next day you frown. One day you're jolly, the next day you're miserable. It is a constant state of being. Are you tracking? Hello? Are you tracking? So what do we have? What do we have? Is it temporary? Good. Now, do you know you can have it and not use it? You can have it, not use it. You know, you can have money and still look broke. You can have money and eat the worst food because of your mindset. The mindset. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. If transformation in the mind does not happen, you will never prove what God has done for you. We get saved. Your spirit gets saved. But you never submit your mind to get transformed. All the battles you fight are in your mind. All the battles you fight are in your mind realm. Then sometimes it moves from the mind and it can also affect your body. But your spirit man is born again and born of Christ. But today I'm here to push somebody over the edge, and I pray mind transformation takes place by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. So you have joy. The Holy Ghost works with your spirit. He's pouring it. But what we need to do is submit our minds to God. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, your soul, and your mind. Your mind. Your mind. You need to tell your mind, mind, you are not going to rule me, but the spirit will rule you. Spirit, rule, mind. I say spirit rules the mind. So even if the mind wants to act unhappy, you check in with the spirit. And when the enemy wants you to act depressed and live depressed and feel depressed and feel oppressed, remember the word of God says, ask and it shall be given, that your joy may be full. Your joy may be full. So whatever you're battling with, take it before the Father. Whatever you're battling with, take it before the Father, that you may get victory over it. And joy takes over. Are you with me now? Good. John 16:24. Let's take John 15:11. I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy may be full and complete and overflowing. Are you with me? What does Jesus want for us? He wants our joy to be at full measure. He wants our joy to be complete, and he wants it to overflow. So this is where we go now. I say, come on. Say, are you ready? So joy is not to be boxed in. Your joy is not to be boxed in. Because it said what? Rejoicing breeds uncommon outcomes. Therefore, there is usage for your joy. Too often we walk around saying we have joy, but we never reveal it. When it overflows, it is evidence. No matter how big the tank is, no matter how big the vessel is, when the vessel begins to overflow, everybody around it knows. The moment your joy overflows, people will begin to know that you're a child of God. The Holy Ghost is helping us this morning. The Holy Ghost is helping us. It is one thing to have joy, but it's another thing to rejoice. It's one thing to have joy, but it's another thing to rejoice. Let's go to the word. Whew. Joy is the state. Rejoicing is the action. Joy is the state. Rejoicing or expressing the joy is the action. It's the manifestation. Rejoicing is the external manifestation or expression of joy. Oof, hallelujah. It testifies of the transformation that has taken place. Rejoicing testifies of the transformation that has taken place. You don't have to say nothing, but the way you conduct your business, it is evidence of what God has done on the inside. You ever met somebody or seen someone before they got saved? You know they were this quiet person. They never said nothing. They don't even want to talk to people. They have their head down. But mighty God, when they got saved, the lifter of the head, they encountered him. For thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're my glory and you're the lifter of my head. They were hopeless before, but they become hopeful now. They had no reason to smile, but now they're laughing, now they're smiling, and everybody around them have to change. Just like how sour-faced people affects the room, people with joy affects the room. Hello? A lot of times we only think that it's pouty people that affects the room. But let somebody walk through the door with bright eyes, nice smile. Let me tell you something. It changes the room. So we ought to what? Rejoice. And oh my God, the Lord is helping us today. Somebody say, I'm not going back. Say, I'm not going back. My joy will testify. Rejoicing will testify for me. The Bible is a manual, isn't that true? Is it your manual? Say, thank you, Lord, for the manual. Thank you, Lord, for the manual. Oh, bless you, Lord. This is how we use our joy. Go to Philippians 4, verse 4. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Meaning, delight and gladden yourself in the Lord always. Oh, I'm not feeling good today. Oh, I feel like I have the flu today. Oh, I feel like I can't make it today. No, rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like to go to church. No, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to rejoice on Monday. Oh, my God, when it's time to go back to work, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to say, God, I thank you that I have a job that I can go to and I can make an income. I am grateful. I thank you. Amen. When do we rejoice?
Always.
When you and your spouses are angry at each other. And things are going crazy in the house. And it seems like all hell is breaking loose. You jump on that demon. And you start to praise the name of Jesus. You start celebrating the name of the Lord. You know, when your children are acting funny, you jump on that demon. And you praise God.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord. When?
Always.
What about when you're sick?
Always.
When you have pains? When you feel like you can't make it anymore, I want to tell you today, the Bible says, use your joy. Too often we take joy and make it a smiley thing. And we limit it to only that. We limit it. When the Bible tells us that the joy, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you feel like giving up, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. When you feel like you're at the end of the road, the joy of the Lord will bring you back. He'll bring you back. When you feel like life is leaving your body, the joy of the Lord that will bring you back as you begin to praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Everybody can memorize this verse. Oh, no, let me go right back to Philippians 4:4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
And he came back again. And he said again. As if he didn't say it enough. It's like always was not enough. He had to put some icing on the delicious cake. And again, I say, rejoice. And you know who was talking here? This was Paul that was shipwrecked 5 times. Let's look a little at Paul's life. Go to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labor more abundant, in stripe above measure, in prison more frequently, in debt often. Rejoice in the Lord always. Next verse. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times he got scourged. It's not stripes where they take a marker and stripe your back. It's a serious whipping that burst your skin open. It doesn't happen in private. In public. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. The same stoning that killed Stephen. But what he says. Again. I say. Rejoice. Who is doing that? Is that Paul? Paul can't come up with that rejoicing. It's the greater that's on the inside. Greater is he that is on the what? Inside. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Meaning the ship split. A night and a day, I have been in the deep. Meaning, a day and a night. You ever seen that movie with Tom Hanks, Castaway? Where he's just there drifting on a little barge? He was there drifting, and he said, again I say, rejoice. The average person, maybe even me, would have said, Lord, just take me home now. A whooping, scourging, imprisonment, public beating. Now the ship broke 5 times, 3 times rather. And now I'm just here drifting. Take me home, Lord. But what he says, again, I say, rejoice. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils, meaning in danger of robbers. in danger my own countrymen, in danger or perils of Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils. Hallelujah. Perils everywhere. Perils among false brethren. What he says? Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. In weariness and toil. Oh my gosh. Look, this is the one we suffer it. In sleeplessness. Often. All of us go, man, I can't sleep. I didn't sleep good last night. Oh, I'm pouting today. The man said, it was often that I couldn't sleep. It's time for us as a church to grow backbone. It's time for us to be strong. It's time for us to be resilient. It's time for us to wake up. A little sleep you don't get, and you think your life is about to fall apart. Wake up! Rejoice. And again, in hunger. Oh my God, we can't fast. Hunger is going to kill me. Because your belly is your God. When you're hungry, you get angry. Thirst. In fasting. Oh God, meaning maybe you're so tough you have to fast very often. In cold. You think it's now Christians are feeling cold? Paul felt cold. But did it stop him? No. We find all reasons not to do what God has called. I'm not talking about come to church, what God has called you to do. So many times, God has called you to do something for him, but you find all the reasons to say no. Where is the joy? Where is your state of gladness? Where is your state of confidence in God? Where is it, church? It's time that we wake up. We've been sleeping long too much. And we've been wanting a comfortable relationship with God. And we want it to be comfy and spongy. And even the chairs in the church got to be very soft. When the chairs should have been hard to keep you on your feet praising God. Everything in, majority of things in Christianity became deceptions. Where we think that if people are comfortable, they're going to love and serve God. No, they come to church and then live like devils all week. They come to church and never tell somebody about Jesus for all their lives. Never pray with anyone. See people in crisis and never hold their hand and say, let me pray for you. You see people, cashiers in pain. Anybody ever seen a cashier in pain? They're trying to find a sweet spot to stand. Because they're working and they're in pain. And we don't say, let me pray for you. I didn't say preach a sermon. I said pray for them. Let them know that somebody sees and somebody cares. And the care comes from the one that you're in love with. And it's Jesus. I want to tell you this week, change it. Change it. So here, the Apostle Paul that went through all of these things. And the last one, nakedness. Stripped, naked, and embarrassed. We have such good clothes that our clothes is more important than us kneeling at the altar. Our clothes is more important. Oh, I came smooth. I got to get back home smooth and put it back on the hanger because I paid X, Y, Z. And your identity comes about based on what it is we wear. I want to tell you, we're the best, but identify with the heart of God. Dress the best, but identify with God's heart. Be open that God can use you. And if you say, take the coat off and give it to someone, you're ready to release it. Amen. Amen. I went to Guyana last year, May, and I had a bracelet on my hand that was worth $1,000. But whilst I'm praying with a pastor at the altar, the Lord said, take it off and give it to him. I just slip it off my hand, and I put it in his hand. I said, the Lord said, take this. We have to detach from things. It blocks you out of levels. It blocks you from levels. What do you love more? The thing or the blesser? There's more where the $1,000 one came from. Can I tell you that? Hello? Because he supplies our needs according to his riches. Where? In glory. So, let's get back to the word now. So we know what joy is. We know what we must do with our joy. We must use the joy that's within our heart to express. Let it be expressed. Let the joy becomes what? Rejoicing. Now, let's get to this word. So back to Acts chapter 16 verse 6. We're going to speed it up. Paul cries out and he says to the man with a loud voice, because he was at the end, he was ready to kill himself. And Paul says, do not harm yourself. We are all here. But what happened right before that? Paul and Silas, they were in prison. They were in a Philippian prison. They were in a dungeon. They were in a dungeon, and they had them sitting on a musty, wet, disgusting piece of place. And this is how they were in prison. Sitting, their feet were in stocks. They couldn't move their feet. Their hands were stocks. Stocks, picture a big piece of wood or two pieces of wood that have two semicircles, and then it clamps your hand in place. Did you just see that? God. So they couldn't move their hands. But the Bible says, at midnight, what was on the inside of them that the Holy Ghost was producing in them, it came out of them. It moved from being joy and it became rejoicing. You can't tell me God has done so much for you and you don't have voice to praise him. You don't have legs to dance. You don't have hands to clap. You don't have hands to wave. You don't got ups to jump. In the prison, the Bible says when the clock struck midnight, and that's when sleep falls upon the eye, it says here, they began what? Singing. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Praying. They could chain your hands, but they can't chain your lip. They could chain your feet, but they can't chain your lip. I want to tell you, right where you are in your limitations, praise God. Begin praying. Open up your mouth. Pray. Sing. Oh, I don't like faith church. They sing too much. Hey, when you sing, there are uncommon outcomes. When you sing, stocks are going to break. Chains are going to break. Shackles are going to break. When you use your voice and you praise God, the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If the Holy Ghost is producing joy, I want to tell you, you got something to say. When you praise God, the impossible will happen. Uncommon things will happen. Verse 26. 25, they began what? Praying. They began singing. And the prisoners were listening. The prisoners were wondering, oh boy, isn't it bad enough that you're in prison? Why you got to sing? And why you got to pray? Because I just can't help him. Because a greater is on the inside. And he's producing a joy that these stocks can't chain. Ah, the shackles can't bind. My praise is unlimited. After the prayer and the praise, you can expect uncommon outcomes. But if you never begin praying, and you never begin shouting, and you never begin singing, there is no expectation of anything uncommon. The Bible said, suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Say suddenly. There was a great earthquake. So you're telling me, Pastor, their prayer and their singing caused an earthquake? Yes. I spoke to you last week about when they were praying in Tulsa, how the hotel shook. Remember that? Here again, we're seeing a shaking. The men begin to pray and they began to sing. And the Bible said, suddenly, I want to tell you, don't stop singing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop singing. Don't stop praying. And unlike them, our feet are free. Our hands are free. Don't stop clapping. Somebody clap. Come on. Clapping is a sign of victory. Don't stop stomping. Somebody stomp. If you do that, the devil don't know what to do with you. He lost you. He got to leave you alone because he said, oh, she crazy. And oh, he's crazy. And you better believe it. We're on a different frequency. We're on the frequency of light, the frequency of life, the frequency of God. He says the devil is under what? You shall tread upon what? Serpents. Tread upon scorpions. So anything that represents the devil, you have authority to tread on it. I want to talk to this church. This is a week of treading on some things. This is a week of seeing some uncommon things happen. Testimonies are going to come forth because you keep praying. You keep shouting. You keep singing. You keep stamping. You keep standing. You keep clapping. And like David, you keep dancing. Amen. Somebody say suddenly. But what did it take? It took the joy that was in them to come out. Don't chain the joy that God has put within you. Don't let circumstances chain the joy that is in you. Don't let life chain the joy that is in you. Don't let your circumstances affect the joy that is in you. But it says it must what? Overflow. Let the joy overflow. I want to tell you, get rid of every limitation. The Bible says there are a few things that set back joy. Sin. Get rid of sin. That you're conscious of, you're living in sin, get rid of it. It besets you. It holds you back. It limits you. Instead of you flowing in joy, you're just miserable in guilt. Get rid of it. Everything that besets you, get rid of it. It might be some people, get rid of them. It may be some friends, get rid of them. You're sitting in a row where the sour puppies are, leave them, go to another row. Change, because I got to praise. If you're going to limit me, bye-bye. If you want to limit me, bye-bye. I got to praise my God, because my uncommon depends on my praise. It's not new. When David was dancing, Michael looked through the window and she said, oh, King, how you paraded yourself before the women of Israel. She thought he was parading himself in front of women. But the man was rejoicing because the glory of God was returning to a place where he can touch it, where he can encounter it, where he can feel it. The glory, the song says, when the ark comes back to the city, it's time to dance. It's time to pray. But today, we carry the ark of God with us. The ark is on the inside. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God? What are we doing? What are we doing with the glory? What are we doing with the power? Oh, what are we doing with the joy of the Lord, which is supposed to mobilize us, supposed to push us out? And when somebody gets saved, we're excited. When a young person encounters the Holy Ghost, you should lose your mind, because the devil is waiting to chew them up. What are we doing with the glory? What are we doing with the joy that the Holy Ghost has deposited? Paul and Silas, look what they did. They let the joy flow. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, watch out. I'm about to flow. Come on, high five them. Say, neighbor, watch out. I'm about to flow. Some things are changing because I am flowing. I am flowing. I am flowing. I am flowing. What God has done is about to come out. Somebody give God praise. Now watch here. Sit. When you flow, others will flow. Somebody's waiting on your flow. Somebody is waiting on your rejoicing. Look here, let's go to the word. They called a man, they said, don't hurt yourself. We are all here. He said, what must I do to be saved? When somebody asks you the question, you must be able to give them the answer. And the answer is, then they spoke the word. What did they spoke? The word of the Lord to him. Oh my God. No, 31. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's going to happen? You shall be saved. Not just you. You and your household. Didn't I tell you that? God doesn't want to only save you. He wants to save your household. He wants to save your children. He wants to save your aunt. He wants to save your sister. He wants to save your brother. He wants to save your mom. He wants to save your dad. He wants to bring the entire family for this glorious walk. Somebody received that. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his what? House. He went from the jail now to his house. It went from the jail to his house. Now let's go. And he took them the same hour, watch here now, of the night, and he washed their stripes. Meaning they had a good whooping before. And immediately, now they just had a good whooping and they were praying. Yeah. Oh, I can't pray right now. I want to tell you, the Bible said pray without ceasing. No matter what situation, what circumstance you find yourself in, get praying. Get singing. Sing in your trouble. Sing in your misery. Sing in your pain. Sing in your frustration. Hey, kosia la daba kosora ba kosonda da kosata tarba kataya. 33. Same night he took them. Suddenly, and look at this now. Immediately, he and all his family were baptized. When you begin to flow, the people in your house are going to get saved. And you're going to wonder how they got saved. You prayed some prayer and it affected the stronghold. You sang a song and it broke a stronghold. I want to tell you, keep flowing. Keep rejoicing. Now when he had brought them into the house, watch here. He set food where? Before them. They went from being hungry, beaten, arrested, defamed, to now they're being fed. He said he'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemy. He'll anoint your head with oil. Your cup will run over. Surely, somebody say surely. Goodness, say goodness. Mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Give God praise. They got baptized. He sat them down. And look what happened. Their joy manifested. They rejoiced. Look what the jailer is doing. And he rejoicing. The joy is contagious. I say joy is contagious. But it only happens through relationship. If the man did not receive Jesus. You see, a lot of people wants the grace on your life. This is the danger. They want your power and your anointing. They want you to pray for them, but they don't want to come under the name. What the man did, when they overflowed, because they were willing to overflow under pressure, the jailer now is now enjoying the same joy. The joy, the Holy Ghost that was working in them is now working in the jailer and working in his family. And the Bible says, and he rejoicing, having believed in God, with who? All of his household. I want to tell somebody today, don't let nothing limit your joy. Don't let nothing limit your rejoicing. When you wake up in the morning, sing a song. When before you go to bed, sing a song. When you get up, pray, rejoice, give God thanks, give God praise, and watch what will happen suddenly in your life. Let's all stand. Jump to your feet and give the Lord a good round of applause. Keep on, keep it going, keep it going. Come on. Open up your mouth and praise God. Open up your mouth and pray, pray, pray. We take this word. We marinate it into our spirit. We marinate it, Lord. We marinate it. We marinate it. We marinate it. In the name of Jesus, we marinate it into our spirit. Lift your hands up. I speak over you that your joy will flow. I speak over you that you'll have overflowing joy. Your joy will not stop there, but it will flow. It will become rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I speak over you. Where you lack joy, I pray that joy will flow. Where you're miserable, I rebuke the spirit of misery. I bind misery. I take authority over misery in the name of Jesus, that the joy of the Lord will flow and overpower fear. It will overpower fear. Every spirit of fear, I bind it. I replace it with joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Rabakoshokotorodobosaya. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Rejoice always in every season and in every circumstance. So Father, I thank you for your people. Spirit of God, breathe. Let this church be lifted. Let this church be lifted after today. Let the glory of God, those that suffer with attitudes that are contrary to your word, help them. Those that have demeanors that they shouldn't have, help them. Those that suffer, help them. I pray, God, we will not be chained by feelings. We walk by faith and not by sight. In the name of Jesus, let your glory fill their lives. In the powerful name of Jesus. Somebody make a decree over your life that I will rejoice. Come on, make a decree. I will rejoice. I will be glad in the Lord. I will overflow with joy. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And my joy will be contagious. Make that declaration. My joy will be contagious. My joy will attract many to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hey guys, welcome back. I'm so glad that you stuck around to this point. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to Faith Church. We want you to come and be a part of what God is doing, this move of God that is happening here in the Bronx, New York area. Personal invitation to you. Wherever you're from, you are welcome. All are welcome to come and experience the power of God. Sundays at 10, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Come and join us in-house or stay connected to us through all of our socials, whether it's my personal or the Faith Church social. Just be a part, follow, and come along on this journey of faith. I'll see you soon. I'm Pastor Sam. Have a great day.